Good morning. It's 9:37 a.m. on Saturday the 24th, 2018. It's a little chilly this morning. Low to mid-30s. A couple big strings of geese moving out here. I don't expect to be able to hear them over the traffic noise, but they're making quite a racket. One of these mornings they're going to fly right overhead and I'll be able to record them and you'll be able to hear them and it'll be exciting. So this morning I'm thinking about David Burnside. I can't tell you the number of people who have brought up. So when is he going to do Burnside? When are we going to find out about Burnside? What are you going to do about Burnside? And the answer up till now has been, why would I do anything about Burnside? I think a big piece of it is that as a character, I really was not happy with what I did with Burnside. Burnside is not an archetype. Burnside is a stereotype. Not only that, he's cardboard. He is so two-dimensional as to be, if he turns sideways, he's invisible. And he's such a stereotype that really the only thing he's missing from being Snidely Whiplash is A, a sense of humor, B, the black coat, and C, the mustache to twirl. I mean, other than that, he's basically Snidely Whiplash. And so, as far as I was concerned, having him pretty much stripped of his position, exiled to the toehold to try to make his way in the world, I was pretty much done with that. I don't think I could have written David Patterson without him, and I didn't realize until last night that I had given both of those bad guys Davids for first name. I had made both of those guys Davids. Kim asked me last night if I knew somebody who was really nasty who was named David. And no, actually, the only bullies I really knew were named Richard. Yes, they were, in fact, and in name, dicks. I had named them inadvertently without even realizing. So, but I keep, it seems like every time I turn around, somebody was wondering, what about Burnside? What about Burnside? And then... and I had it explained to me last night. Good morning, good morning. It is, it's lovely. He was the only character who celebrated being bad. The old saw about villains don't know they're being evil. No, he knew he was being evil, and that was part of the joy of it for him. Just like Snidely Whiplash. So I've had to go back and rewrite a certain passage to include my basic opinion of David Burnside as a character. Now, I confess that I think I understand it, this continuing fixation on whatever happened to Burnside, whatever happened to Burnside, and the desire to know how horrible his life had become as some sort of karmic restitution. I get it. I think I get it. So, yeah, there's a... I fought it in a lot of ways, for a lot of reasons. The primary reason was too many coincidences. There, you know, it's like, there are so many. Oh, well, I just happened to be on the station when. And here's a guy who has been off Ishmael's radar for the better part of two decades. Off doing something, maybe. We don't know. He could have been pushed out an airlock. And how would Ishmael know? How would he come into contact with that piece of information? How would that surface in his world in a way that wasn't artificial? And the answer is, and continues to be, he can't. Any mention of Burnside is going to have to be forced and coincidental and artificial. So, faced with this dichotomy, I did the best I could. We learn of Burnside's death in the course of this book. Sorry, it's kind of a spoiler. Yeah. Burnside died. A long time ago. Over a decade before this book started. And Ishmael just finds out about it. In passing, in the course of this book. So, yeah, Burnside's dead. R.I.P. The Dick is dead. Long live the Dick. or the David or whatever. Anyway, so I have to remember not to have another villain named David. Get ready. Say it with him. One post. Generally, the feedback coming in is good. Generally, everybody is like, yes. I think there are people who are beta reading this who don't know about the Smuggler's Tales. There was a place where I actually dropped the ball a couple of times. And I've got those patched up. That's why I have beta readers. That's why I have you people read the book and find the things that I thought were in there, but weren't actually in there. Because I don't see the things that aren't there, but I know are actually in there somewhere. Even when they're not actually in there somewhere. So, the beta feedback coming in is really, 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 really good. I'm quite pleased in general with the feedback. I've got one section I think I need to just highlight that section and plug in a new passage that covers all the same points, and because it's basically technically problematic, and while I can get away with a certain amount of hand waving, if there is actually current science, I need to at least acknowledge it. There is apparently a problem with one of the mechanics of the story. There's one piece of it that I've had three people question. And I've gone back through to see what I may have left out, or how it might not have, how I might have been just a bit too clever, and what I might be able to do instead. But I don't see it. A lot of the questions have to do a lot of the questions have to do with details that got revealed in Home Run. So if you don't read Home Run, part of this book is probably going to be a little what the fuckery. Sorry for the F-bomb, it just sort of slipped out. But the difficulties seem to be predicated on unjustified assumptions about who's what and where, who works for whom, who knows about stuff and who doesn't. And they are assumptions that are not true. there is no evidence to support these assumptions. It's an erroneous inference from the information that's been given so far. And I can't do much about that. Because I think a big part of the support for the stories comes from the reality that I don't spell everything out. There are things you have to learn about the universe by reading what's there and drawing your own conclusions about what's happening. Now, I will confess that in this book I do unload a lot of those secrets. I do tie up an enormous number of loose ends here. We do get a deeper understanding of what the toeholds are like, what life in the toeholds are like. We do get to meet some of the people and learn a little more about them, what makes them tick. We learn a lot more about the various characters, the crew, Pip, and of course Ishmael is wading through his issues. There's a nod to, what is it, Civilization V, that has the music, Baba Yatu. There's a nod to that. There's a nod to my headspace meditation. There's a lot of Easter eggs in this book, and I'm really pleased with where it's leaping off. There's room for more toehold stories. There's still a couple of questions that got introduced in this book and not answered that give me a little bit of an entree into perhaps future difficulties. At any rate, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I will talk to you then.